Grace be unto you and peace from Jesus the Christ, your only source of living water, your only source of eternal life. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. That is how our sermon text for last Sunday ended. It ended on a very sad note. It ended on a very negative note. Adam and Eve had sinned. As soon as they sinned, they knew that they had a problem. That problem first presented itself in the realization that they were naked and that they were ashamed. They were embarrassed to be naked even in front of their spouse. How could this problem be solved? Adam and Eve decided that they had to do something and do it very quickly. So we're told that they took some fig leaves, sewed them together, and made coverings for themselves. Now the problem was solved, right? Not at all. The problem was simply covered up. Mankind's problem became even more apparent and even more acute when the Lord God came down and walked in the garden in the cool of the day. The Lord God exposed man's real problem when he asked Adam, "Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Now Adam and Eve were brought to a full realization that their real problem was that they had openly rebelled against their loving Creator. Was there anything that Adam and Eve could do to solve this problem, a problem which they themselves had created? Well, of course, you and I know that they tried, didn't they? When we look at Genesis chapter 3, we see that Adam and Eve had already tried to solve the problem they had created by hiding from God. That didn't work so well. Then we know from Genesis chapter 3 that Adam and Eve tried to solve the problem they had created by blaming someone else for what they themselves had done. That didn't work very well either. Since there was nothing that mankind could do to solve the problem which mankind had created, God promised that he would solve the problem for them. You all know that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Lord God promised that he would send someone into this world, someone who would be a direct descendant of Adam and Eve, someone who would have the ability to crush Satan's power, someone who was willing to endure the punishment that mankind deserved to receive for their sin, the punishment of death. Our text for today, my friends, takes place thousands of years after the Lord God gave that first promise, gospel promise, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Today, as we continue our sermon series entitled The Amazing Season of Lent, I would like to try and build a bridge from our sermon text for last Sunday and our sermon text for today. Last week we focused on the amazing grace of God. Today we are going to focus on a man by the name of Father Abraham. Today let's see how God's amazing grace led him to give Father Abraham God's amazing blessings. We get the impression from Scripture that for about 1600 years, the believers among mankind lived in the light of that very first gospel promise. Well, today we might think that 1600 years is a very, very long time. We also need to factor into that equation that Adam lived to be 930 years old. His son Seth lived to be 912 years old, and Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. Noah was born maybe about 1,000 years after the creation of the world. And of course, we all know that in the days of Noah, mankind experienced both the justice of God and the grace of God firsthand. A number of centuries after the flood, And we don't know exactly how many centuries that was, but a number of centuries after the flood, the incident here in our text for today took place in the Garden of Eden. God had promised that one of Adam and Eve's descendants would indeed crush Satan's power and endure the punishment that we deserve for our sin. Now, God takes that glorious and yet very general promise, and he gives it a great deal of detail. Here in our text for today, we see that God, in his amazing grace, gave to Father Abraham an amazing blessing. Look at the opening portion of our text. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Abram was 75 years old when the Lord God appeared to him and told him to go to a yet undisclosed country. And the reason that God was calling Abraham to do this is spelled out very clearly in the amazing blessing that God was giving to Abram. God promised, he promised that he, the Lord, would turn Abraham into a great nation. Now, how old was Abram when God gave him this promise? 75 years old. How many children did Abram and his wife Sarai have when God gave them this glorious promise? They had no children at all. Here we see that the amazing blessing that God gave to Father Abraham is based purely on God's amazing grace. Skip ahead from Genesis chapter 12 to Exodus chapter 38, and you see that over the course of the next 600 years, the descendants of Abraham did become a great nation, a nation numbering some 2 million people strong. As God's amazing blessing to Father Abraham continues, we hear that the Lord promised that his divine protection would be like an umbrella over Father Abraham. Everyone who blessed Abraham would be blessed by the Lord God himself. Everyone who cursed Abraham would be cursed by the Lord God himself. But the most amazing part of the amazing blessing that God gave to Abram is found in the closing words of verse 3. "And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." The most amazing part of the blessing that God gave to Father Abraham, my friends, is that the Savior who was promised in the Garden of Eden, the Savior that God now promised would be a direct descendant of Abraham. That's why Matthew's genealogy of Jesus begins with Abraham. That's why Luke's genealogy of Jesus goes back through Abraham, all the way back to Adam. What an amazing blessing the Lord was giving to Abram. God promised that a 75-year-old man, a man who had no children with his wife Sarah, that one of his descendants would be the Savior, and that everyone who put their faith and trust in this descendant of Abraham would be blessed by the God of heaven himself. From our vantage point as New Testament Christians, we know that this blessing consists of forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation. Our text for today then is a very good example of why, in my mind, God's amazing grace and God's amazing blessings go hand in hand. Well, we know from other portions of Scripture that Father Abraham was indeed a tremendous man of faith. God's amazing blessing to Abraham also included something visible, something tangible for Abraham to hold on to. In verse 7 of our text, we're told that God took Abram from Ur of the Chaldees, which we think was in southern Iraq, and brought him to the land of Canaan, which of course is in modern-day Israel. Then God gave this amazing blessing to Abram. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." Some 600 years later, the descendants of Abraham, under the leadership of Joshua, did indeed take possession of the promised land in fulfillment of the promise that God gives here in our text for this morning. It is certainly not difficult for us to see that the blessings which God was giving to Father Abraham are nothing short of amazing. But what was Abraham's response to God's amazing blessings? Look at verses 7 and 8 of our text. We're told that Abraham built an altar to the Lord, and there he called on the name of the Lord. The Hebrew word, which is translated here as called, contains in it two important emphases. First of all, this Hebrew word can also be translated as worship. Abraham's response to God's amazing blessings was to worship the Lord his God. Secondly, the same Hebrew word can also be translated as proclaim. Abraham's response to God's amazing blessings was to proclaim the name of the Lord to the Israelites who were living around him. Now think about that, my friends. Abraham openly proclaimed to the unbelieving people who the Lord his God is and what the Lord his God had promised to do. Why? Because Abraham understood. Abraham understood exactly what the Lord meant when he said, "All people on earth would be blessed through you." Abraham knew that the Savior whom the Lord God had promised in the Garden of Eden, the Savior whom God now promised would be a direct descendant of Abraham, would be the Savior of all mankind. That amazing blessing led Abraham to worship the Lord his God and to proclaim the name of the Lord to the people living around him. Now, while we might think that we could end our sermon here for today, there is one more extremely important point that needs to be brought out. That point is this: you, my friends, are also recipients of these amazing blessings of God. First and foremost, the God of heaven and his amazing grace has made you a true descendant, a true child of Abraham. Paul touched on that truth in our epistle lesson for today from Romans chapter 4. Paul then brings out that truth even more clearly in Romans chapter 9. Paul writes, "For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. God's amazing blessing to you, my friends, centers in the fact that purely by his power and purely by his grace, he has created the gift of saving faith in your heart. This precious gift of saving faith was given to you when God the Holy Spirit brought you to faith in Jesus as your only Savior from sin, whether that was as a little child in the sacrament of holy baptism or through the power of God's holy inspired word. This precious gift of saving faith makes you a true child, a true descendant of Father Abraham. This precious gift of saving faith guarantees that you are numbered among God's chosen people. This precious gift of saving faith assures you that God was thinking of you. Imagine that. God was thinking of you when he promised to Abraham so many years ago, "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Since you are a true child of Abraham, does that mean that you can lay claim to that amazing blessing of the promised land? It most certainly does. We need to remember, however, that the earthly promised land of Canaan was but a shadow, a picture of the ultimate promised land, the promised land to which you and I do lay claim. It is the promised land of heaven. In reality, God's amazing blessings to you, my friends, are far more numerous than we could ever recount here today. Perhaps a good way to wrap up our sermon, then, is to encourage you to follow the example that Father Abraham gives to us in our text for today. When you stop to consider all of God's amazing blessings to you, the amazing blessings that he has given to you in the past, the amazing blessings that you enjoy today, the amazing blessings that you will enjoy when you reach the promised land of heaven, the amazing blessings that are yours through faith in what the Son of God accomplished for you on the cross of Calvary's Hill. When you stop to consider all of the amazing blessings that God has given to you, how will you respond? My prayer this morning is that, like Father Abraham, your response to God's amazing blessings will center on worshiping the Lord your God and then proclaiming the name of the Lord to the people around you. To God be the glory. Amen.